Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss all of the headlines from week two, including Joe Burrow's injury and Brandon Aubrey's performance against the Giants. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast, week two. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. Sir, how are you?
Oh, you know, 0-2. I never thought we'd be this far in the season and we'd be the same record as the Chiefs. So, hey, things are looking up.
There you go.
Things are looking up.
Goals.
Goals. <Yeah. laughs> Well, as far as I go. Yep. How about you?
I'm good, man. Yeah. I'm good. The Jets, they stink. my mom texted me on Sunday. She's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I said, honestly, I did a really good job of preparing myself that last week may have just been a fluke.
Yeah.
And it was. So
delete last week's video, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. but look, so I kind of wanted to start off with something. I told you I was going to do this. And, you know, last week was a rough week. Mm-hmm. For a lot of different people, a lot of different reasons. And so I just really felt led to share my thoughts on it. I spent the last couple of days honestly even debating if it was worth it. You know, if it was going to make an impact, because full transparency, like, we don't have that many listeners, right? It's not right. Like our reach is like 200,000 people.
Right.
But I kind of just felt really strongly that at the end of the day, whether it's 2 people, 20 people, 200 people, I really felt like it was necessary to share my thoughts on what happened last week. So Dave Portnoy from Barstool really said it best. He said that last Wednesday was one of the darkest days in our country. And I have to agree with him. I have to agree. I full transparency, I just started following Charlie Kirk in the last 6 months to a year. And he was one of those guys, again, being fully transparent. When I would see his media come up, I kept scrolling, because if you don't listen to what he says, your opinion might just be that he's someone with a political view that's just trying to be louder than the next person, just like a lot of people in politics.
Right.
And so I spent a long time not really listening or not really diving in or knowing what he was about. And then one day I found a conversation, a debate between him and a college student, because that's what he did. He opened debate. He welcomed it, even regardless of what your viewpoint was. He wanted to have that conversation with you. And so I spent time to listen to him. And very quickly, it was crystal clear to me that this dude, number one, is super smart. And he's making a big, big impact on our country. Again, full transparency, I didn't agree with everything he said.
Right.
I'm not the guy that's going to, hey, my political party said this and I agree with every single thing they said.
Yep.
That's not how I roll. I don't think that's how anybody should be. I think you have to listen with open ears and be able to acknowledge when someone in your party might be wrong.
Right.
And so I had no problem not thinking that everything he said was correctly. For example, he was very open about the fact that he did not value a 4-year college degree. And so that was a lot of his conversation with these college students on these college campuses about how he thought it was a waste of money and a waste of time. I disagree with that.
Right.
Me personally, I have a 4-year degree, and I can say pretty confidently that I would not be in the financial situation that I am now, or quite honestly, even able to afford this home without the degree that I have that, you know, eventually got me the job that I have now.
Yeah.
So, again, I didn't agree with that part of him, but I think that that's more of a subjective opinion type conversation, where a lot of the other stuff he said was biblical, right? You can't really argue what is read in the Bible. You might be able to argue how it's interpreted, but that was really the big thing for me. Everything else, I could not have agreed with him with more, with almost everything that he said. But here's the great part. If I didn't agree with him, or you didn't agree with him, or you don't agree with me, keep scrolling.
Right.
You know what I mean? Keep scrolling. You don't have to kill somebody.
Like, yeah.
That's the part that I just can't wrap my mind around. And this is hitting everybody. I keep reading that, like, why is this making such an impact on me when I did not know this person? And I think it's because at the end of the day, he literally was sharing his opinion. It just happened to be on something that is always controversial, right? The government and faith. Mm-hmm. And he was murdered for it. Mm-hmm. And I just can't get on board with that. When did we get so sensitive that we started killing people because we disagreed with them and didn't want to hear what they had to say? I still to this day, I put a post out last week saying I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm still there. Right. I can't make sense of it. The one thing that I'll say is I was completely enamored and proud, amazed, whatever adjective you want to use, of his love for Jesus and his love for our country. Mm-hmm. Above all else, you can say a lot of things about him, but you can't say that he didn't love Jesus. He didn't love our country. Mm-hmm. And there's a clip going around, a lot of clips going around of him, which is amazing. But at the end of one of his interviews, they asked him, how do you want to be remembered? And without hesitation, he didn't pause. He didn't hem and haw. He didn't wonder what words. He said, I want to be remembered for my courage and my faith. Not, I want to be remembered for a good husband. I want to be remembered as a good father. Those are great answers, right? And a lot of people probably would say that, and I'm sure he would say that eventually. But first on his list was being his courage and faith.
Right.
And I could not have more respect for him.
Right.
His company called Turning Point, I don't think it's a coincidence that I truly believe that Wednesday was a turning point in our country.
Yeah.
It was a turning point for me personally. Like, I've seen a lot of people, like I said, questioning, like, why did it have that impact on me? And I don't have that answer. But I have a fire inside of me that I have never had. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like ashamed that it had to get to this point. Something like this had to happen for me to be so willing to be outspoken about my faith.
Right.
People close to me, you know, my faith is important to me. My faith is important to our family. But I never really felt the need to
express it
or vocalize it. And dude, right now I'm ready to shout it from the freaking rooftops. Like, I love Jesus. I love our country, and mm-hmm. I stand with Charlie Kirk. And again, I'm sad that it took an event like this for it to happen. Mm-hmm. But it did. And so Wednesday after it happened, and after we confirmed that, you know, he had passed, I told Christy, we were laying in bed, and I said, I just get this strong feeling in my spirit that the enemy did not win. The enemy tried to accomplish something today, and they did not win. The shooter hit his target with Charlie, but they missed their mark. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that again. They did not accomplish what they tried to do. Your goal was to silence this man, but instead you created a revival in this country that I have never seen as long as I've been alive. His Instagram followers went from 7 million to 12 million in less than a week. Since Wednesday, his company Turning Point has had 30,000 new applications for charters across the country. You're seeing all over social media people who are admitted either agnostic or atheist or haven't been to church in years were in church on Sunday. And so, you know, Romans 8:28, which I actually happen to have tattooed on my arm, it says God works all things for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And the enemy bit off more than he could chew here. Mm-hmm. This was not what the Lord wanted, but he's making the best out of it. He is making it certain that Charlie did not die for anything or did not die for nothing. And I couldn't be more thankful for the impact that he's having and had and will continue to have on our country. The last thing I'll say about this, for those of you who are celebrating or saying he had it coming, I've seen live by the sword, die by the sword. I'll be praying for you. That's the best thing that I can say, because unless you change your heart, if you ever want to actually have a debate with Charlie in heaven, you need to change your heart, because right now you're not getting there. And so, again, I know this is not a political show, a current events show. This is sports. And I just spent the first, 10 minutes talking about it. But I just felt so strongly that I needed to share my opinion and my conviction. And again, this is my viewpoint. Jeff, I told Jeff I was doing this. We didn't talk about if he agreed, if he thought I was crazy. But here's the great part. He ain't going to kill me for it.
Right. No, so, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a 50-50 show. I mean, anytime either you or me feel, you know, a fire in ourselves and want to say something, we will, and we'll tell the other, and we'll talk about it and whatnot. I mean, at the end of the day, we could probably have a whole hour, 2 hour show about Charlie Kirk. To be honest with you, and for good reason. There's a lot of things going on in the world that shouldn't be happening. And I mean, it stems at home because it is at home right now, and it's unfortunate, but it is one of those things that is happening around the world as we speak. So for me, unlike Nick, I didn't know Charlie Kirk before this whole thing happened, so I was not in tune with his debates, his viewpoints, and all that. So all of it was new to me. But just at a glance, I mean, I'll just be truthful. Some of the things that he said weren't up to my spectrum, but of course that's just headliners. I'm not one to go deep dive and you know, create an opinion out of it, because it's one of those things where there's so much happening in the world, so much negativity. If you try to dive too deeply into it, and I feel like you focus yourself on it, all of a sudden you're surrounding yourself in negativity, and it's hard to get yourself out of it. So I agree with Nick. There's nothing in the world that we should be saying to each other that should get us killed or shot
assassinated, murdered.
Yeah, you know, that's the sort of nonsense that dwells in evilness. Sort of nonsense that digresses populations and societies. There's no room for that, regardless of your viewpoints. And I like to think that we're both pragmatic people. We look at each situation as it is, and then we make the most sensible decision out of it. So I'm with Nick in terms of like political parties. We're not really affiliated one way or the other. We're going to look at each situation as it is and then decide from there. But at the end of the day, whether you're left, right, central, up, down, I don't care. I really don't. Like, at the end of the day, there's no reason to look at another person and say that person's so wrong that person deserves to no longer live on this earth. There's no way anyone can convince me that's the way to go on any sort of facet with any other person. So to me, it's definitely a hard-hitting subject. Obviously, there's certain situations and events that hit us harder than others. And there's certain breaking points I feel like we all have. So this being yours, obviously, no one should, you know, judge you for that in a negative light, because I mean, I get it. I really do. But at the same time, to me personally, it's just one of those things where I see it and it just makes me sad to realize that this is the way it is right now.
There's so much evil in this world.
Yeah, it's just the way it is, and it's like it shouldn't be that way. There's, like I said, it's happening all over the world, and if you dive one way or the other, it just spins you in a loop, and you might all of a sudden, before you realize it, you now have hatred inside your heart, and all of a sudden you're pointing blame at someone else that has nothing to do with it. And it's a very dangerous line to walk. So to me, it's rough to see it. It's on the positive, it is good to see a part of our nation get together and rally around a certain figure, regardless of who it is. And especially when it comes to the Bible and Jesus itself. So it's, I don't want to go too deep into it, yeah, because like I said, yeah, I'm not too familiar with Charlie Kirk and what he was preaching. But obviously there's just a lot in the world that needs to be corrected.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say on it, and I appreciate you giving me the space to do this.
Yeah.
Something I've been wrestling with is, and I'll be totally transparent. When I found out when the Utah governor announced that they're seeking the death penalty, my first for the guy who shot him, my mm-hmm. first reaction was good.
Right.
That's what he deserved. But then I had a check in my spirit.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a, you know, to anybody out here who might have similar views. Maybe, you know, you're a believer, you're a Christian, and you're just livid.
Yeah.
And you had the same reaction as me. I think we need to check ourselves there, because then we are no better
right.
than the people saying, yeah, Charlie deserved it. If we're saying, yeah, that's what this guy has coming to him.
Yeah.
How are we any better?
Right.
So that's something that I'm wrestling with, because I want to make sure that I'm not stooping to the same level that we are so mad other people are getting to.
Yeah, it becomes a cycle of hatred. At what point do you break the cycle? And it's just one of those things, like as I said, if you dive too deep, and no one can fault you for it, but if you dive too deep, all of a sudden, before you know it, before you realize it, you're surrounded by hatred yourself, and you start understanding that, whoa, this isn't who I am, this isn't what I want to represent, this isn't the beliefs that I grew up on. It's completely understandable to feel anger. One of the things that I hate, and one of the sayings I hate the most, is showing your true colors, because I feel like we're all human beings. We all have anger. We all have happiness. We all have all sorts of this range of emotion. We're all rainbows, basically. Every single spectrum, there's an emotion there. And whenever hatred comes out and someone says you're showing your true colors, there's no bigger or disgusting sort of saying for me, because it's like you're just looking for faults in a person. And to me, at this point, you got people on the right and the left and wherever you are saying this and that and pointing fingers, and all of a sudden you're showing your true color. No, at this point, one thing I will agree with Charlie Kirk is, and he took, it's about the debate. It's about just talking with another human being, not with hatred, not with any malice. It's just about trying to understand the other person and realizing what they're trying to tell you. And that, we don't have to agree. Obviously, I'm sure Nick has some viewpoints that he stands on that maybe I won't agree with, and maybe I have some viewpoints that he won't agree with. So at the end of the day, we're still best friends. I really do not, it's not going to affect me one way or the other. And it happens with everyone. Obviously, with family, with friends, with coworkers. To me, I know who I am, and I'm comfortable with what I am and what I believe in. And how I view the world. So if someone else has a different view, I'm like, congratulations, fantastic. I still enjoy your company. I enjoy your presence, and I wish you the best. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to have any sort of negative feelings towards another person. There's just no reason for it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah. So again, hopefully this doesn't make you tune off or unsubscribe or whatever. And if it does, I'll be praying for you. I just felt really strongly that I needed to get this message out tonight. So, I appreciate you guys listening, and I appreciate Jeff giving me the space to do that. And we're going to jump into football. There's no great transition. So we're going to jump into football. We're going to jump into top stories for week two. And I just stole the mic for 15 minutes, so I'll let you kick it off.
Oh, kick it off. Well, there's a transition for this. My top story is Brendan Aubrey.
Bingo.
So obviously the Cowboys had a thrilling win.
Also, this is the first time ever in the history of the What Do They Know podcast that a kicker is featured in top stories.
We need to mark this down. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is a historic event.
Absolutely. I mean, Brendan, like, I was debating about it, but like, Brendan Aubrey, I think he deserves his own little moment here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, obviously the Dak Prescott and the entire Javonte Williams, CD Lamb, they put on a show, but at the end of the day, Brendan Aubrey came in clutch for the Dallas Cowboys.
He's becoming like the next Justin Tucker.
Yeah.
He's a weapon.
Yeah.
You get across the 50 and you feel like you're at least going to get 3 points.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I think it was at the 50 where they just ran the ball. And they were like,
why not?
Well, yeah. They were like, we don't need any more guards. Yeah. We got Brendan Aubrey. It's insane to me to see a team with that much confidence in their kicker, especially when so many teams have a Russian roulette of kickers right now. Obviously, San Francisco cut Moody from their team. Younghoe Koo got benched over in Atlanta. It's fascinating to me that Brendan Aubrey has transpired as much confidence with a fan base and a team that honestly, that team doesn't really have a lot of confidence. Like, you can get eaten alive in Dallas in terms of media.
I feel like right now it's him and Chris Boswell are like the two kickers where like you can check it off. Like, if you get across the 50, you're guaranteed 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, his four field goals, I'll read them off to you. 51, 44, 64 to tie it, and then 46 to win it.
And, dude, that 64-yarder was good from at least 70, possibly 75. Like, that thing was still three-quarters of the way up the field goal post when it went by.
He launched that thing. Like, at this point, like, if you're Dallas, do you even need to risk it at this point. Like I got Brandon Aubrey locked and loaded in the tank. So it's just fascinating to me that Brandon Aubrey is doing what he does, and he continues to do it at an alarming rate. I feel like, and honestly, it'd be the biggest troll job by Jerry Jones if he just offers him the Micah Parsons deal at this point.
Just $40 million. Here's
$40 million a year for my kicker. But I mean, Brandon Aubrey, I think he deserved his own moment. So that's where I'm at with him.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And then my other top story is Joe Flacco. Honestly, I think it's time to retire from my man over there. I think it's time to, you know, ride on to the sunset. Just don't even think about football. Don't even pick up a football for the next 2 years. Don't even do it. Don't look at it. I mean, week one, he had a decent day. 31 for 45, 290, one touchdown, two interceptions.
Flacco should not be throwing the ball 45 times.
No. So how did they fix that? He threw for another 45 attempts this week.
That's just not a rest. I mean, this week was tough, right, because they were down early and often and by a large margin against Baltimore. So I think that was more game scripts. But, like, last week they didn't need – it was a close game. They didn't need to throw as much as they do. And right. It goes into what we talked about in the preseason with them. Like, who's their running back? Yeah. Like, they don't – I don't know that they have a run game right now.
Not really.
And so
I mean,
Flacco is kind of being forced to do this, and I don't think that's a recipe for success.
No, yeah, you're definitely going to have to maybe go with one of the younger guys there, like Dylan Gabriel, and maybe even Shador Sanders, just to give your offensive line a little bit of a respite, I suppose, in your run game, a little bit of a jolt with the young quarterback with legs. Because, yeah, Joe Flacco, I mean, he had one interception and one fumble loss this week. So that's four turnovers over the course of the first 2 weeks. That's not a recipe for success, especially for a Cleveland Browns team that's not really, flourishing with talent at this moment in time. But, yeah, I mean, Joe Flacco, that's my other top story. I just feel like it's time, my man. It's time.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a great run. He's played for freaking every team in the league, it seems like. And, I mean, he can still sling it to his credit, but
right.
I just don't think he's going to cut it this year in Baltimore. I mean, everybody kind of knew what it was. It's a stopgap. It is what it is, but
right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I get developing your Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, but, I mean, you had five QBs to start the preseason. You're telling me you couldn't at least have someone else in the keep Kenny Pickett or someone to back up Flacco in the meantime? I don't know. I'm just not thrilled with Joe Flacco being there.
Yeah, I don't think Cleveland Brown fans are thrilled with him either. So my first top story is Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And I'm super disappointed on this one because if you guys listen to our preseason show, I said it with my chest that Burrow was going to be MVP and the Bengals were going to win the division and be the 2 seed. And the news dropped this morning that he officially also, I don't fully even know what turf toe is, but it's got to be the worst injury in the world, because if you get turf toe as a football player, you're out months. And Burrow, his is so bad apparently that he needs surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be out a minimum. They made sure to emphasize minimum of 3 months. So that's, what is that, December? October, November, December. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's dang near the whole season.
Yeah.
So that's brutal for the Bengals. Obviously, you know, thankfully for them, I think they have one of the better backups in the league with Jake Browning.
Mm-hmm.
He came in yesterday and had a phenomenal game, led them to the win against Jacksonville. They're 2-0, so that's positive. But as a Bengals fan, as Joe Burrow, as somebody high up in that organization, you got to be just absolutely deflated that this has happened again. And it, quite honestly, it opens up the conversation of, like, is he just injury prone?
Mm-hmm.
I saw Dan Orlovsky from ESPN put out a tweet today that says this feels starting to feel very similar to Andrew Luck. And we talked about Andrew Luck in the preseason where he was an amazing talent and they never surrounded him with an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bengals, what are you doing? I saw the funniest meme yesterday.
Made
me burst out laughing, that basically said there's 100 million obese men in America and you can't find five to block for Joe Burrow.
I saw that, too.
Dude, that made me laugh so hard because it's true.
Yeah.
Like, they cannot build an offensive line for this guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is the sort of stuff that happens when you pay your skill players instead of building in the trenches. I mean, obviously, you know, the playmakers deserve it. But at the same time, when you're giving extravagant, very lucrative deals that are hindering the rest of your the building of the rest of your roster, somewhere it's going to suffer. And unfortunately, it's looking like it's the offensive line. It's been the offensive line since Joe Burrow's been in the league. I feel like, here, let me read off some of the injuries that he's had. 2020, his rookie year, he tore his ACL, MCL, and PCL. In 21, he dislocated his pinky finger. In 22, he sprained his MCL in the Super Bowl. And in 23, he had a
I didn't even know about that one. Sprained his MCL in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And then in 23, he had a right calf strain and torn a ligament in the right wrist in week 10, and he missed the rest of the year. So, yeah, this is very much looking like a Andrew Luck situation. I mean, honestly, if you're Joe Burrow, do you still want to compete?
Right.
Honestly, with so much rehab.
Yeah, it's tough because we talked, he did this to himself with demanding that his guys got paid.
Yeah.
We talked about this.
Yes. And, I mean, Andrew Luck surprisingly only played for 6 years. This is year six of Joe Burrow. So, I don't know where Joe Burrow stands in terms of rehab and the mental toll that it takes on a human being. But he's already
imagine doing it as much as he has.
No,
I can't. I can't either.
No, he's won comeback player twice. If he comes back next year, he might win a third time. Why? Why? At this point, why? I mean, it's just rough right now to be Joe Burrow and a Bengals fan. I mean, arguably, he is the best quarterback when healthy and given time. But as they say, the best ability is availability.
Yep.
And honestly, Joe Burrow just does not have that right now. So to me, obviously the Bengals are smart to have a capable backup like Jake Browning. Obviously threw for two interceptions. That dude slings it. Let me just say,
yeah, he does.
Let me just say something. That dude really does. Not shy about slinging that football.
No, he's confident.
Yeah, absolutely. Way to go, Jake Browning. I like Drake. Even though with the turnovers, give me a quarterback that is not afraid.
Yep.
And Jake Browning is it. But Joe Burrow, I feel like he has a lot to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. My second one is J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy.
So it's been two games now, and in reality, he's had one good quarter. He looked god-awful to start against the Bears. He threw a pick six. They were down double digits, and he, to his credit, had a great fourth quarter, led a couple drives, had a couple touchdown throws, and they ended up winning against the Bears.
Right.
Last night was...
The fourth quarter never came.
Rough to watch.
Yep, the fourth quarter for him never came that he had for the Bears.
I wrote down his stat line combined for the first two games. 24 of 41, 301 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions, and he's been sacked 9 times.
Mm.
So I really was thinking earlier today, I was I wonder how Vikings fans are feeling about this. And I said, you know what? I'm going to reach out to our Vikings fan because Jeff and I have a best friend who is a diehard angry Vikings fan.
Oh,
and I thought
boy.
If anybody's going to give it to me straight, it's going to be Jake Frandl.
It's definitely going to be Jake.
So I texted him and I said, hey, man, I'm going to be talking about J.J. McCarthy on the show. Tell me what your honest thoughts are. And I'm just going to read to you what he said. I thought it was very mature of him not to be
our Jake
throwing the season away already, because if you know Jake, it's very realistic that could be happening.
He's like, when's football over?
He said, so I'm not panicking yet.
Oh,
this is literally his second NFL game. And yeah, he only has had one great quarter of football, but our starting left tackle is still out and should be back soon. And also, we get Jordan Addison back in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from Mahomes and Jaden Daniels' rookie year, a lot of other quarterbacks didn't have a good start to their rookie year. O'Connell is one of the best quarterback coaches in the league, so I will give them more before I start panicking or saying that JJ's a bust.
Wow.
Very mature take from Jake.
Wow.
So shout out Jake, because I honestly expected a little bit more comedy with that.
What is this insightful answer?
The entertainment value is quite not where I wanted it buddy, but I thought it was a very smart take to not be panicking yet, because I think it could be very easy for Vikings fans to say, what did we do?
Yeah. Well, where's Sam Darnold at is what I feel like a lot of Vikings fans are saying right now. What,
correct.
Like, where is Sam Darnold? Well, he's in Seattle.
And to make matters worse, and I had reached out to Jake before the injury news came out, but they dropped today that he's gonna miss at least this next week with an ankle injury. Mm-hmm. So there's less snaps that he's gonna get, mm-hmm. Less reps, and so I don't know, man. He's another one who missed all last year with a knee injury, and now he's got the ankle. And you know, good on Jake not to be panicking yet, but I think it also could be very realistic that most Vikings fans are.
Break the news to him that he's out next week. Let's see if we get a different response.
Hey, Jake, did you know? Did you know that your quarterback's out next week, buddy? If you're listening to this.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Carson Wentz will be the backup.
So is that where he went?
It's going to be Carson Wentz versus Jake Browning this week.
Oh, so sign me right up.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, a lot of injury quarterback news.
Mm-hmm.
Fields is in concussion protocol. McCarthy, Burrow. Who else?
Jaden Daniels.
There's been a lot of injuries so far.
Mm-hmm.
But all right. So those are my two stories. We are going to jump into overreactions.
Okay.
So I have one, and then I have a little game to play with you.
Oh no.
So my overreaction is that Daniel Jones playing the way that he is really exposes how much of a horrible coach Brian Daboll is.
So I don't think that's an overreaction at all, to be honest. I mean,
we'll see, right? Time will tell.
Right.
This could be just, you know, two amazing games from Jones, and maybe he'll come back to reality looking like the guy that we wrecked, Danny Dimes from not Indiana Jones. Danny Dimes from the Giants. But,
right. Dude,
right now, how do you look at his performance with the Giants and not criticize Daboll for what he wasn't able to accomplish with him?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Colts look dang good.
Yeah,
I think they're the only team to not punt in their first two games, and they didn't beat a slouch this week. You can say what you want about their game one against Miami,
yeah,
but they beat who people think are the best defense in the NFL with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and that's
-5 fantasy points, by the way.
Clock it. Yeah, no, that's the main reason why I think it's not an overreaction, is because it was against the Broncos defense. And you know how high I am with the Broncos defense. I think that's definitely a top three defense in the NFL, at least in talent-wise. I mean, I don't know what's going on right now with Denver, but obviously, on the defensive side for Indianapolis, I feel like they've been doing a tremendous job as well. I mean, they held Cortland Sutton to a catch and 6 yards, and they held Tyreek Hill to 4 catches and 40 yards last week. I'm starting to give props to whoever's covering him. Is it Xavier Howard over there that's tracking him down, or is it a team effort? I'll be honest, I haven't kept track with the Colts' defense that in depth, but I mean, if it's someone shadowing number one receivers out there, I mean, they're doing a really good job in shutting them down. So to me, the Colts themselves are looking mighty shiny right now, and Daniel Jones itself is leading that shininess. So he's looking like the real deal right now. He's looking like last year's Sam Darnold, and I can't remember who it was 2 years ago that we already mentioned, but
Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith.
Yep.
Yeah.
The list goes on.
Yeah.
Just change of scenery and change of scheme, change of personnel. I mean, he's
change of coordinator, change of head coach.
Everything. I mean, you can't say this is the running back. I mean, Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley are both pretty good running backs. But
yeah.
I honestly think it comes down to offensive line. To be honest with you, I feel like Daniel Jones. I feel like anytime I would look at a highlight from the New York Giants when Daniel Jones was there, I feel like he was scrambling for his life and he always
running.
Yeah. And I feel like now that he's in India, I feel like he's throwing these passes in the pocket. Like, it's not like he's being thrown out of his comfort zone anymore. So Daniel Jones, I'm buying in. I'm buying in this year for Daniel Jones.
We'll see.
Yep.
All right, I'll let you go with yours until we get to my my little game.
Oh boy. So I know he hasn't necessarily taken off yet, but Cam Scadabo, offensive rookie of the year. Obviously, there's
forks up.
Forks up. Obviously, we have Cam Ward, Austin Jeanty. I mean, the list goes on. Travis Hunter. The list can go on and on, but I feel like Cam's got it. It's been 2 weeks, and he has had two impressive runs or catch and runs.
He won Angry Run
from
the NFL Network for week one.
Yeah, it was on a catch, I believe. Yeah. So, and this week, did he get that touchdown? I think he got that touchdown on that very aggressive run.
Yeah.
So this is going to go one of two ways. I hope it does not go the injury route, because he's laying his body out there.
Yeah.
It creates for exciting football for Cam Scannabo and that Giants offense. Tyrone Tracy Jr. just has not taken a stranglehold on that position either at running back. So I feel like Cam Scannabo, as long as he runs the way he's running, I feel like there's a lot more touches in the future for that guy.
Yeah, so I think Tracy kind of contributed to that a little bit, because he was in the doghouse this week, whether they want to admit it or not. After week one, he was criticizing Dable's play calling and basically saying, like, he was vocal. I guess there was a situation where they were at the 1 yard line and multiple times they never ran the ball against the Commanders in week one, and he this week said that, like, yeah, obviously, you know, we all thought that we should be running the ball from the 1 yard line. So he criticized Dayball, and then I think he only had two carries this week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dayball is clearly pissed at him. and Scatabu had 12 carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown. So, I would love to see him take over that starting job. I'm biased. I'm a huge Cam Scatabu fan.
Yeah.
And I think he's a beast. But to your point, that dude's upper body, his neck, like the way that he levels people,
he's got to be
taking a big ice bath or something every single week. I don't think that's an overreaction, and I love that.
You love it.
I love it.
Look at that.
Forks up.
Yeah, my second overreaction was Indy too. We lined
same
up.
Same brain. All right.
We lined up perfectly on that one.
Perfect.
Yep.
All right. So, contender or pretender? This is an overreaction, because it's only week two.
Week two, yeah.
So I'm going to give you the list of 2-0 teams, and I want you to tell me who's a pretender, and then we'll go through the list of 0-2 teams, and we'll debate who we think could still make the playoffs. Okay?
Okay.
So for your list of undefeated teams,
okay. We
have the Bills, we have the Bengals, we have the Colts, we have the Eagles, the Packers, the Niners, the Rams, and the Cardinals, all 2-0. Do you have a team there where right away you say, I'm not buying the fact that they're a legit contender?
So the first team that jumps out to me in terms of performance right now is, unfortunately, the NFC West champs that I've predicted, which would be the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
Right now, you've played two of probably the worst teams in the NFL, in Carolina and New Orleans. You had a good lead there with Carolina, 27-3 at home, and you almost blew it.
Yep.
That's scary to me. A really good team would not allow that to happen. A team that has a deep postseason run in them would not allow that to happen. A team with Super Bowl aspirations would not allow that to happen. I can't imagine Philadelphia allowing Carolina doing that, to be honest with you, in Philadelphia, let alone. So to me, that is my biggest red flag in terms of the teams that are there, is just how Arizona's winning. I still have faith in them.
Yeah.
I obviously, they still have the wins in the win column. They did what they needed to do. They made the stops they needed to make. And overall, that shines, and that should bring a little bit of character. And I just hope the Arizona Cardinals locker room understands that they are putting themselves in situations that they shouldn't be in. And maybe they'll lock it down. And Kyler Murray, I mean, he should not be throwing, you know, passes 10 yards down the field where he's being knocked down and just a, you know, a prayer heave type of thing. He knows better than that. And especially when you're on your opponent's, 10, 15 yard line. No, don't do that, Kyler. Do not do that. And to me, out of the rest of the teams, obviously Bengals, Joe Burrow's status is definitely the biggest red flag there. Who else do you have in there?
So,
Bills, obviously,
I think the Bills are legit, right? Yeah. The Eagles are legit. The Packers are legit. The Rams are legit. The only other one that I had kind of circled was the Niners.
The Niners? Yeah.
Only because, not necessarily,
they've surprised us, right? They're 2-0. I think their defense is going to be really good, and that's what's going to keep them in games. But Mac Jones, I mean, I know he balled out against the Saints. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, everyone balls out against
but
the Saints.
But I just don't know if that's sustainable, if Purdy's really out for a while. George Kittle's out for a while.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that I kind of had circled as well.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to definitely struggle against their own NFC West opponents. So when you start playing Seattle and the Rams and the Cardinals even, I feel like that's where the 49ers are going to start. I feel like they're going to start racking up some losses there. I don't think they have the team that I feel like a lot of people think they do. To me, they're still looking up to those other three teams, to be honest with you.
Okay. Now, on the flip side, now everybody knows after week two, there's the stat that they love to show, the difference between percentage to make the playoffs with 1-1 versus 0-2.
Right.
There's a substantial difference. Now, any of these 0-2 teams, and I feel like this answer might be somewhat obvious, I don't know, but is there any 0-2 teams that you think can still make a run and make the playoffs? So, those teams include the New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, the Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Giants, the Bears, the Panthers, and your Saints. Can we just stop and acknowledge how crazy it is that the Chiefs are looped in with all of these teams? Like, it's amazing.
Yep.
And I love to see it.
Yep. Well, yeah, one of these teams does not belong here.
One of these teams is not like the others.
Exactly.
Like, it's baffling. So that's why I kind of said, like, this might be an obvious answer and an easy answer to say the Chiefs. But anybody besides them that you could see making a run and making it interesting down the stretch?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard those teams and I was like, no, no, no. Chiefs, no, no. Yeah, obviously the weaknesses of all those other teams are very apparent, I feel like. Yeah. I don't know where you're going to get from New York. Obviously, if you get this version of Russell Wilson, maybe you'll surprise some teams here and there. Whether that's going to get you a playoff run, I doubt it. Obviously, between our teams, there's a lot wrong going on there. And then the Browns, we touched on them a little bit earlier. I'm not a big fan of what they're doing there right now. But yeah, the Chiefs are just the obvious one, and I feel like the only one that we should include in terms of perhaps.
Yeah, I tend to agree. The only other two that I hemmed and hawed, but I can't even really justify giving a take on that, is the Giants and the Bears.
Yeah.
Just because I think that Caleb Williams has the potential to be explosive, that offense has the potential to be explosive, but I got to see it first, and they've shown no signs that that's actually what they're going to be.
Right, yeah, and having the Lions and the Packers in your division kind of puts you down a little bit. It just hinders what you can do as progressively.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right. Perfect. We will jump over to power rankings.
Ooh.
Right? Do I have that order correctly?
That's fine.
Yeah. So we will go through our updated week two power rankings to see if anything has changed. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I mean, not much has changed for me. I still have the Packers up top. They still, I mean, beating a really, really good Commanders team is enough proof for me to keep them at one. Chargers haven't played. But
yeah, so I took them off my list.
Did
Isn't
you
that
really?
Wrong? I know.
That's
just because they haven't played.
Yeah, it's a little mean.
I know. Oh. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Well, so I moved them down to three. So so I did a little, like, I can't. I can't look down on you.
Give me crap about it.
Yeah. But I mean, the Bills, obviously, after a dominant performance, I kind of had to move them up a slot. I'm curious to see how the Chargers look after they got the Kansas City monkey off their back. Obviously, Oakland is 1-0, surprisingly, after a win at New England. So we'll see what that Geno's.
It's a trap game for the Chargers.
Yeah, yeah. Coming off a really good game against the Chiefs. I'm very curious how they perform. And then four, the Eagles. They won their Super Bowl rematch. There's no reason to think them there. And then number five, I got the Bucks. They're currently winning 14-10. So, I mean, if they pull this off, they'll still stay at five. Okay. If they don't, I don't know. I don't know who I'd put in there.
So I have the Colts at five.
Ooh.
I really value that win against Denver.
Yeah.
Because I think Denver is going to be a good team with a great defense.
Yeah.
And so that's basically what I did. I swapped the Chargers for the Colts. So Bills, Packers, I still got the Rams up there. Eagles at 4 and Colts at 5.
Yeah.
So okay. not a big change, but a subtle change. And who knows if the Chargers, you know, dominate again tonight, then I'll look like a fool taking them out of my top five. But
right.
I felt like I had to throw the Colts in there.
Yeah. No. So, they deserve the shout out. Absolutely. Right.
So start 'em or sit 'em. Fantasy football lineup questions. So I have one for my teams in one of our leagues that to me it's somewhat obvious, but I'll explain why I made it a question. So I have a running back decision that I have to make.
Okay.
So I have three options for one spot. Because my three options. Yeah, well, maybe not. you tell me.
if you have three options, you have no options. Yeah,
so one of my spots is solidified with Kyren Williams. So he's not going anywhere. Okay. He's in the lineup every week, right?
Okay.
So my other three are Jaylen Warren. He's at New England. Trevion Henderson, who I'm high on, but hasn't really done anything yet.
Yeah.
They're playing Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Or Tony Pollard against Indy. So I'll give you their point breakdown so far, which is why I say just going off of this is somewhat obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So Jaylen Warren has had 13.9 and 17.4. Mm-hmm. So both very respectable games.
Yeah.
Trevion Henderson has had 11 and 6. And Tony Pollard has had 8 and 9.
Okay.
So to me, the obvious choice is Jaylen Warren, but I just can't trust that. Like, I have such a hard time thinking that Jaylen Warren in an Aaron Rodgers-led team is going to continue to put up this kind of production. But those are my options.
Yeah.
None of those matchups really scare me.
Yeah.
Like, Pittsburgh, okay. Indy, okay. New England, okay. Like, they don't have a fortified run defense where I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay away from them.
Right.
But I just can't. I just can't trust Warren.
Really,
I think that's the obvious choice.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're overthinking this one a little bit. Obviously, Henderson is his value is being a little compressed due to Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah. So that he's being a little frustrating for me right now as well in one of the leagues. So I'm probably going to bench him somewhere.
Henderson, you're talking about?
Yeah, Henderson. Yeah. So I'm not even looking at Henderson until Ramondre Stevenson, you know, gets cut or something. wishful thinking.
He gone.
And then in terms of Tony Pollard, I'm still having a little bit of trouble trying to digest the Tennessee Titans offense.
Agreed.
I'm not exactly sure where the direction is going on that. Obviously, you want to develop your rookie quarterback, franchise quarterback. But does that come in at the expense of your running game? Does that come at the expense of you know, trying to put progressive drives and just trying to put them in some sort of spots to get them going in some sort of fashion? I'm just not there with Tennessee's team as a whole, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And Jaylen Warren, obviously, Aaron Rodgers. The thing with Aaron Rodgers is I think he does a lot of checkdowns? I feel like he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at with Jaylen.
He's not mobile, so he kind of has to.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my line of thinking. And I think when we did our preseason dive into the AFC North, we were talking about how Jaylen Warren didn't have necessarily the definition of a three-down back and was more of like a pass-catching running back. So I feel like this kind of lines up for him, ideally.
Yeah.
So honestly, as an RB2, I'd definitely go with Jaylen Warren. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's probably who it'll be. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
I'll begrudgingly move him into the starting role.
Perfect.
What do you got?
So, instead of for me, because for me, I'm one and one. At this point, I've come to the fact that anything I do is just going to lead to neutral.
Mediocrity.
Mediocrity. I'm just mediocre at this point. So, I just wanted to touch base with who the quarterback options are after Joe Burrow. Obviously, he was probably one of the top three, four quarterbacks taken, probably behind Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. He was right up there. So I was looking at potential, you know, free agent quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, obviously, we talked about highly.
Dak might be available.
Dak. I mean, Daniel Jones, 21% rostered. Russell Wilson, who just threw for 450 yards, 3% rostered.
Yeah.
So, to me, I was just wondering, where would you lean? Would you trade for a quarterback? Would you pick one of these quarterbacks up?
So I guess it depends on who you're. Hopefully, you drafted a backup quarterback, right? So yep. Who's your backup?
So for me, I got Bo Nix in one league. So Bo Nix had a decent game this past week.
I'm not on the bandwagon of Bo
Nix. I was a big Bo Nix guy.
Yeah, I'm not there.
But week
yet.
One, he kind of let me down on that one.
Big one. Yep. Laid a big egg.
Yeah, so I'm a little hesitant with the Bo Nix thing. Pick up someone, stash Burrow in the IL for a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're by the time he comes back, playoffs are gonna you're gonna be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
either that or you will have missed the playoffs. So yeah. I think you're better off just dropping him. I think it depends on who your backup is, right? I have him in one league,
mm-hmm.
and thankfully I was able to draft Jordan Love as my backup. So Ooh. I feel pretty confident just throwing him in there.
Right.
I'm not really going to try and make a trade. If you don't feel good about your backup, you got to do something.
Right.
I mean, you could, I guess, try and plug and play with Jake Browning. You guarantee he's available.
Yep. That's
he didn't look horrible. I mean, he had the turnovers. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to be a gunslinger where he might throw two picks, but he might have three touchdowns and 300 yards. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, kind of got to pick your poison with Browning. But like I said, I looked earlier. Dak was available. Daniel Jones, like you said, there are options out there. Justin Fields might be available, which, I'm just trying to think of guys who will still be out there. But I think it really depends on who your backup is, is kind of going to determine what you're going to do. And also, the Bengals have already said they're going to try and trade for somebody.
Yeah.
So who is that? Like, if they bring in, say, Jameis Winston, do you go pick up Jameis Winston? You might want to consider that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it depends on who they trade for and if that person is a backup to Browning or if it's to start.
Yeah, that's the interesting question. I feel like if you're the Bengals, you've had Browning there to back up for what, at least 3 years. I feel like
you know exactly what you're getting with Browning at this point.
Yeah, and to me, if I'm the Bengals, I'd feel comfortable with Browning leading the charge rather than trading for someone just to come in and start and learn the playbook from scratch. And then trying to lead a 2-0 Bengals thing. I think Jake Browning has a lot of familiarity there. And obviously, I think Ja'Marr Chase had 14 targets in total this week. So it's not like he doesn't – it's not like Browning doesn't know how to get the football to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. He knows how to get them the football. He knows who his playmakers are. So to me, if the Bengals are going to trade for someone, it should be a backup.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yep.
All right, that's a great question.
Yeah.
So we will wrap it up with our picks for next week. So far, this whole let's pick with the spread thing is really screwing us.
Count your days, Panthers.
Oh, my gosh. Just getting ready to flip out on the Panthers. Go ahead and tell everybody what the Panthers did to you.
So as we talked, we mentioned a little bit earlier, the Cardinals were up 27-3. In the fourth quarter, almost third
late,
quarter, I think
late in the game,
second half. And I was watching the game and I was like, chalk that one up. Oh, yeah. Look at that one.
Yeah.
Look at that one, boys. And you know what? The Panthers scored like 19 unanswered after that.
And the reason that Jeff is frustrated is because he picked the Cardinals as his lock, but they had to cover the spread, which was
6.5, I believe.
6.5. Yep. And they won by what, five?
Five. Five.
That's what you get for coming up with this idea.
Yeah, can we scratch that out?
No, it's too late. We suck. So how did you do? What did you do last week?
So I'm 0-1 in that respect. I have the Bucks over the Texans as my upset.
Right, that's right. So well, TBD on that.
TBD on that. And then I had the Eagles over the Chiefs, as we both did.
Okay.
So
you're 1-1, potentially. 1-1. Yeah, Bucks are winning right now, so potentially 2-1.
Potentially.
So I went 2-1 last week also. My lock did not cover, same as Jeff. I had, who did I have? I had the Cowboys over the Giants, Cowboys winning by 5.5.
Mm.
So again, they won only by a field goal. So right. They did not cover, so I did not get that right. My upset was the Pats over the Dolphins.
Yep.
Dolphins were getting 1.5 or giving 1.5. And then I also picked the Eagles over the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So 2-1 last week. I will kick it off with my picks for this week. My lock. this might be a little bit of reverse psychology on the part of myself. I'm picking Tampa -6.5 over the Jets. I just think after yesterday and the way that Tampa can play on offense, they're liable to put up a 50 burger on the Jets. And the Jets defense looks like they are very, very bad. So that's my lock. I'm feeling really good about Tampa to win by at least a touchdown.
Yep.
My upset is the Steelers over the Pats. Pats are favored by 1.5. They are home. But they squeaked it out against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And they lost to the Raiders. And so Steelers, I feel pretty confident about that one.
Okay.
And then our game of the week, we decided, is what? Rams at the Eagles, right?
Yep.
I'm taking the Rams. I think the Rams are going to go on the road. They're going to have a little bit extra to play for. They lost in the NFC. Was it the divisional round?
Divisional, I believe.
At the Eagles last year. I think the Rams are for real this year. I've been on record saying that. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking the Rams.
Okay. So my lock is the Falcons over the Panthers. This is personal now.
This guy.
This is personal at this point. The Panthers, count your days. You guys are going to be on my lock list the rest of the year. But it's a 3.5-point spread. Falcons obviously manhandled the Minnesota yesterday. It took a really, really depressing second half for the Arizona Cardinals to let Carolina back into the game. To me, divisional game, it'll be close, but...
What's the spread there? I'm sorry?
3.5.
Okay.
Yep. And then my upset, I got the Cowboys over the Bears. Obviously, the Cowboys can light it up.
That's a good one. I like that pick.
Spread is 1.5 in favor of the Bears. It's in Chicago. So we'll see where they're at, but give me Brandon Aubrey.
there you go.
And then game of the week, it's in Philadelphia, and just because I don't have the Rams in my playoff scenario, I'm picking the Eagles on that one.
Okay, awesome. So we're fine. That's the first game of the week that we're different.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, give me the Eagles.
All right, well, that'll do it. Week 2 in the books. Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed, and we will be back with you next week.
Take care.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.